that she dated that guy who looked like K-Fed and then dumped him.
Yeah.
Hello. So is everything I'm saying creepy sounding lately?
Yeah, lately you've just been in some weird place.
I'm right here.
Yeah.
All right. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Let's see. What do we have here? We have this. Rick. Oh, this is about the Barack Obama thing. Maybe the public is ready for a change, but if you look at the list of presidents, you'll discover no names. Scottish, Irish, or English. You mentioned Giuliani. Mayors are a different matter. So we've got the... where's Tim, by the way? Oh, there he is. He's actually running down the hall as we speak. So the presidents were all like Jefferson, Johnson, Bush, Clinton, Coolidge, Eisenhower, Polk. Yeah, so you're right. There really is no... The only Irish name we have... Well, I don't know anything about anything. Is Harrison an Irish name? I don't know where anything comes from. We don't have like an O anybody. Mm-hmm. We have no like no O'Halloran, no anything. All right. Well, we should come up with a better name for Barack Obama. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, if you put an apostrophe between the O and Obama, you can make him Irish.
Obama. We should totally...
He'll win in Massachusetts.
Oh, hey, Scotty. Oh, I don't have it with me. I forgot to bring in the carts today. And then we've only got 2 days left. We've only got today and tomorrow with the card machine. After tomorrow, the card machine is no more. Hey, Scotty, will you go find in the carts, which are to the right of Tim's computer, will you find the Irish bed, please? There's a cart labeled Irish bed there. It's genius.
What kind of music is it?
It's...
It's music that Irish people would dance to if they were in their native land.
It's the,
what are you going to do? Okay. I'm curious to see what you're going to do with it.
No, nothing. There's no reason. It's just
there might be an Obama Obama story. Obama Obama story coming up in a few minutes.
I'm just saying it's funny. We should totally do that. There should totally be some commercial where they did. No, well, you don't use a picture of him. We should totally to try to capture the heartland demographic. Please vote for, be for voting for Barack Obama. And then it's, and, you know, and then in the, thank you, Scotty. And in the background, you would just have a lot of, Barack Obama. I don't know whether that's funny or not. Doesn't matter. That beats my idea of calling
as
him.
As long as it amuses us, it really doesn't matter.
I was going to call him Rock Strongwell. That was going to be my suggestion. I'd written this down. Because Barack Obama sounds like a masculine name, but if that's not going to, if it's too ethnic for people, fine. You know, this is America, the land of self-reinvention. So there you go. Barack Obama. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, more than 100 rabbits that used to belong to the crazy rabbit lady are up for adoption next week. The Humane Society will make the rabbits available Saturday, February 3rd. Stolen Rabbit Hotline has also been set up if you want more information about rabbits.
Rabbits can't use the phone.
Anyway, these belong to the crazy rabbit lady. These rabbits were taken away. Then she broke, allegedly, stole them back again. So now they've been stolen back from the rabbit lady for the third time, and now she will never get these rabbits back again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and there was like 120 of them, right?
Yes, and they're up for adoption.
All right,
so loving homes.
Yeah, rabbits. The thing is,
they're rabbit ladies.
No, the thing about rabbits though is, rabbits seem nice. That rabbits can be a little, weird though. They can get violent suddenly. I only know this because I was at that. What's that pet store? Lloyd's at Scamps. Which sounds like some sort of trashy bar.
Well, I don't think any animal in a pet store would be happy.
No,
nothing probably against scamps. Not that they're not well taken care of.
No. I'm sure it's a fine place, and I'm sure we have. In the past, I've known some people who worked there. I think Dave from Lord Gore used to work at Scamps.
Oh.
I'm just saying that they would have this, and I don't think they do it anymore. They have this big tin, not a bucket, but like a, I don't know, it's sort of like a trough, sort of like a metal trough that they kept bunnies in. And I think that stopped because there was a child, and I was in the store, and there was a child that reached in, and all you heard, and I didn't see this happen, but you just heard some, oh, look, Mom, bunnies, and then there was a pause, and then just the most blood-curdling shriek. And then I came back, and the bunnies were all gone. Like, the bunnies were behind wire somewhere where you could no longer get to them. So I think you push bunnies too far, I think they'll get up on you. This is Norm. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Norm.
Yes.
Hello. Norm? Thanks, Norm. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a dog came to the rescue of its master in Gresham when a man armed with a knife tried to mug her. This dog is... Apparently, this woman wants to keep her last name private. She is walking the dog in her Gresham neighborhood with a 6-foot... He said, well, I'm going to take what you've got. He pulls out a knife. Well, Zeus seemed to know that something was wrong. He looked at him like, what's going on? In a moment, Zeus was in motion, defending his friend and owner. He just reared up and lumbered down and knocked the guy down, growling and snarling. But the man's, then he held the man's head in a claw-like grip, and then the man ran away.
And this is what kind of dog?
Zeus kind of looks like a... Doberman Pinscher, I guess.
So it's a big dog. Because I've got a dog. I mean, there's like, there's no... My dog is...
You've got a poodle.
I've got a poodle.
Little dogs can be vicious, too.
Well, Muppet is a terror sometimes.
Well, the weird thing
I had my nose bitten by a Lhasa Apso the other night.
Really?
Yes.
How did that happen, Tim?
Well, I went to watch television on the couch and the Lhasa Apso was sleeping there. Apparently, it didn't recognize me.
It didn't cotton to the fact that you were going to be, it felt that the couch was its domain.
Right, and it didn't recognize me. It recognized me as a stranger.
And it jumped at your face?
It jumped up and bit me in the nose.
Well, that's where you got to go. That's where you're supposed to do. You're supposed to just go right for the extremities. And the nose is the easy... the nose is really where dogs go because, A, it protrudes. It's easy to get your mouth around, I think. And then... No, I'm just saying, because it doesn't make any sense for a dog to attack one of your hands, because then you got another hand, right? Like, if the dog bites your fingers, you've got another hand you could be pushing it away with. If the dog goes for your nose, you've got no, because that's right there, and your mouth is there, and then your head's all off kilter and whatnot. And see, the thing is, was it a small dog?
Yeah, it's about 8 pounds, maybe.
And I'm glad to hear that happened to you, because there was that whole unpleasantness when we first got Max, and he went crazy that time because we gave him a cloth toy, which we found out later you can't do because then he guards it and he won't let you near him or whatever. And then you don't want to be scared. I know we're doing dog talk, but you don't want to be terrified of a small dog because it makes you feel like it makes you feel retarded.
Oh, no, Muppet's fast and has razor-sharp teeth. Like, no, scary.
No, Muppet went for my face one time.
Yeah.
Because he had had, you'd given him one of those pig's ears or one of those chewy raw hidey things, and I was like, oh, who's a cute little guy? And then it's just, you know, and it's like, the thing about it is your nervous system doesn't register the fact that it's a 12-pound dog. It's like mentally you're looking at it and you're thinking, it's like, you know, it's like spiders, where you look and you realize that you're looking at a thing that is 1/500th your size. But your nervous system is just telling you, get away, it's going to kill you. And, you know, because I always say this, to go around your jugular, so, all right, I feel good about that. Well, my dog would protect me from nothing.
Is that it for dog stories for now?
I believe so.
Dog talk.
Let's talk about using stun guns against the elderly. This comes to us from North Bonneville, Washington, wherever that is.
Fantastic.
A man is in jail after police said he used a stun gun on a 79-year-old relative who wouldn't leave his apartment.
Let's be honest, though. Any 79-year-old you know would gladly use the stun gun on you first. You know, get off.
You're feisty.
Oh, no, man. Old people have no compunction about that. Old people would kill you just as soon as look at you.
Well, Aaron Dubrine, who's 26, is being held in Skamania County Jail. According to the police, he called authorities to his apartment at 1306 Ewith Street at 9:15 in the morning to get help making the elderly relative leave after they got in an argument over child care issues. At one point, police said Dubrine used a stun gun on the relative, telling police it was to avoid a physical fight with a family member. It's unclear if the old codger will press charges. Police have taken the stun gun away.
We have this. Rick, about the bunnies at Scamps. They still have the bunnies, but there is a sign now that reads, attention parents, rabbits are not like guinea pigs and do not like being picked up without warning. Because kids never give any warning. That's the great thing about having a hedgehog. Back when I had the hedgehog, it was fantastic because it was a kid-proof pet. Because you didn't have to worry about it. As soon as the kid tried to get himself a fistful of hedgehog, the kid had a fistful of pain. That's what he had. You could hear that shriek 3 miles away. Anyway, the sign says, rabbits are not like guinea pigs, do not like being picked up without warning. They will bite your children's fingers off. Find an associate for help. You've been warned. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Just being a little upfront with the whole thing there. Hey, Scotty, I don't know if you're screening these, but I'm unable to see anything. You'll have to come over here and figure something. You'll have to come over and rejigger this.
It's a blank slate.
It is. I've gotten... Yes, it is a tabula rasa here. I can see nothing. on my call screening software.
So it could be. There's no one calling.
But no, they're here. I can see them.
Oh, yeah.
I can see them right there. I just don't know if they're interesting or if it's one of those calls where he puts on the screen, avoid, never pick up. Here's Tim Riley, which he does sometimes.
So that's it for our bunny and dog stories. And
we'll get more
old
later.
Age stories at the moment. Let's talk about the real world of Iraq, shall we? So far, like 32 people have been killed so far this morning in the way forward. Yes, it's bad and getting worse, admits Republican John McCain, who changes his mind about this like every other day.
I thought it was going fantastically, and we were setting up a brand new government that was going to give people, soup and, Cheetos and stuff.
Oh, speaking of that, the reason why nothing gets done is they can't get their entire parliament together. And apparently, they're being paid out of your taxes, $120,000 a year. Each of these parliament members, and it's not enough to hire enough bodyguards. Usually they have like a dozen, but apparently that's not even enough because when they start out, they don't end up with that many by the time they get to the green zone.
It would also help if they had a building that they could meet in. If everything that the tallest building in Iraq now is about 3 inches high. Let's briefly welcome to the Rick Emerson program engineer Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If I were to ask you if the station was staying on the air, would I regret it?
Are you referring
to in which way?
Well, in the sense that people might be able to tune their radios to 970 and then be able to hear a continuous flow of, of talk and information from this station without it, say, going off the air for seconds at a time. Would I regret asking you that?
Maybe. Okay.
Why?
Let's just say it has a lot to do with your new studio.
Thanks.
Oh.
Okay. What seems to be, just so people know that they aren't hallucinating, it's not like I can really complain about it. Just so people don't think they're going crazy, so what is going on with the signal of this very fine radio station?
What's happening is they're doing some technical stuff as far as...
You don't know. Stuff.
Let me tell you.
What's wrong with this? Well, it's technical.
It's a big ball of copper wire.
Right. We get the audio from the building up to the tower.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's what they call an STL. Well, we're moving to another building, so they're doing some stuff. They have that's two different what they call STLs going up to the antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also at that building is KUFO, so they're doing some funky little stuff.
Normally, this show doesn't come on there till 2. All right. I'm sorry.
Are you sorry you asked?
Anyway, all right. So.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Just keep rocking.
Is this what are you, Dirk Diggler? I'm going to keep rocking and rolling.
It looks like a trash can lid on a roof and a long pole.
All of these problems will be gone by Monday. Let's just deal with it.
So is this going to continue to happen for the foreseeable future today?
I should have escaped.
Where it's going to be me, and then it's going to be Limp Bizkit for a couple seconds, and then me, and then Disturbed.
Is that what's going on?
Yes. Oh. Apparently.
Well, pardon our dust.
If you're out there listening, if you'd like to call in and perhaps describe the problem with more... Because the irony is that we can't hear it, right? Everybody out there can hear the problem, but we ourselves cannot. Mm-hmm. So is it us, and then for seconds at a time, it'll be
the Limp Bizkit.
It's just like little tiny half a second.
All right, okay.
I sat there and wondered when I first heard it. I thought it was just me going insane.
Right.
You guys were playing something with a cart machine.
Yes, it's the exciting new mashup version of the Rick Emerson. It's twice the content, really, when you think about it.
In the middle of Tim Riley's newscast, I thought you were just like making fun of
us.
I had no idea what was going on here.
Does that?
We're launching our new.
Oh, this isn't an air monitor, is it?
No, we're just,
so who knows what's really happening?
We're just launching our new HD stream without telling anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you. All right. There you go, Jeremy from.
Well, all right. Well, now
thanks,
that we
Jeremy.
Know,
I'm going back to hide.
All right. There you go.
It's not
this
his
is
fault.
Norm is Norm is. I didn't. I wasn't. Wasn't placing blame at all in any way. This is Norm attempting again with his phone. Norm, hello, sir.
Is this Rick?
Yes, it is, sir.
Love your show.
Thank you.
It's great.
God bless you.
Hey, got a problem with Obama's last name. How can we have a president you can't yell his name in an airport without getting arrested? Somebody yells, there's Obama, the guards are all over you.
Okay, now that's funny. I didn't think that was going to be funny for a second. You, at the last moment, pulled that out, sir. Because I thought you were going with the Obama-Osama
I imagine yourself running through an airport and saying, hey, Obama!
You got
the cops on you, dude.
Okay. Thank you, Norm.
Bye.
Guy called back like 15 times trying to get in a good sale so that he could share that joke with us. All right. 503-733-2970. I don't know. Let's find out. Oh, let's see. From the CBS Radio Director of Engineering, Brian Jones. Hello, sir.
Yeah, Brian's driving. He's trying to get us through traffic. This is Jeff.
Hold on a second. Let's talk to AM970 Chief Engineer Jeff McGinley. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're done. You're all done. You're not going to have those brief interruptions anymore.
You shouldn't call up a radio program and say words like, you're done, you're all done, you're finished, you're over.
I'm just relaying it for Mark Whelan.
All right, so what is the... Son of a bitch. That's not funny. That's not funny, you a-hole.
Oh, my gosh. What if they're building the studio for some other show?
Oh, well, would you, like, would you rule it out?
I mean, that's true. This could be our last week on the air.
Yeah, they're going to move coin over there to save some money.
That's right. No, we're all done. You won't have those brief pauses. All the listeners can, they can calm down and... You know, whether or not they're hallucinating, I don't know. It is your audience.
All right, though, I just like to...
Jeff.
I like to clarify these things because sometimes, this is true, sometimes people, and if you listen to the radio, sometimes you hear weird things, you cross over, and listeners will think it's just their radio. They'll think it's just their brain. They'll think that they've just gone wacky somehow. We always like to clarify when they're a problem.
Well, I tell you what, when those brief little pauses at KUFO just means that your new studio's, it's ready. It's waiting for you.
God bless you, sir.
And everything like that.
We're just going to come over right now.
All right, come on over.
That's not really good enough. Scotty J is having this. It's for the Scotty J show. Yes, it is indeed. All right. Thank you, Jeff McGinley. All right, there you go. Jeff McGinley.
I'd listen to that.
Chief Engineer, AM970. So would I. Put it on right after Timnasium. All right, Scotty, just get prepping for that. All right.
The Beavertonians.
503-733-2970. Scotty, I need no prep. 503-733-2970.
Is that why he sits there and Googles everything and takes notes?
We never did Google Scotty J. Didn't you say that when you put the phrase Scotty J into Google, you came up with some...
Oh, my gosh. There's so many ridiculous...
I just thought it was just men greasing each other up or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Yes, indeed. The situation in Iraq is bad and getting worse. John McCain, who makes, you never know where he's coming from. Let's see. Today, he says, it's a grim assessment.
The consequences of a failed state there are potentially catastrophic. Regional stability, the international economy, America's world standing, and the fate of the Iraqi people are at stake.
Yeah, our world standing. We got to burnish that. We got to guard that world standing with everything we have. That's our only asset at this point.
Well, Donald Rumsfeld is no longer chief at the Pentagon, but he's still hanging around there. The Washington Times is citing a Pentagon official as saying the Defense Department has listed Rumsfeld as a non-paid consultant.
Oh, are you kidding me? He's auditing his job now?
Yeah. It reportedly gives him the authority to review classified documents. He is said to have seven staffers sifting through thousands of pages of documents that were created during his tenure.
He's just hanging out. Donald Rumsfeld has become that guy who is 23 years old and still comes by your high school at lunchtime to smoke weed and to take the other kids to 7-Eleven. Mm-hmm. He's just become that creepy guy.
I don't think he's smoking weed.
He should. I'm saying that right now. Donald Rumsfeld should smoke marijuana. This whole country, we could think about if we had just, and I've had this, something that's a little,
This joke copyright 2007, Rick Emerson.
I said for the longest time we ought to just, that whole area in the Middle East, we ought to just flood it with pot smoke, you know what I mean? Just, I don't know how you do that, but I know there's some guy in the Pentagon, there's some guy at the Defense Department that would be able to figure that out. You just go up and you just nuke it with marijuana from orbit. Everybody's mellow, everybody hangs out, everybody just sits around for a while, you watch a little TV, you take a long nap, you have some peanut butter, everybody's fine. Unless you're my friend Ben, in which case you eat an entire jar of Miracle Whip. But I mean, that's just about personal choice and freedom. Rick, the show sounds like it always does today, kind of inconsistent and stumpy. When the EAS battery died, a half second of silence occurred, then all has been good. I assumed the incubus I heard playing was you dropping in some clever inside joke that we love all so much on this program. I can't wait for the corn drop-in. And that's from Rob, by the way, a lover of our many inside jokes and our many 1% references. All right, here's Tim Riley.
At long last, we have a Cheney watch.
Oh, here's your Cheney watch for Thursday on the Rick Emerson show.
Okay, who saw Cheney with Wolf Blitzer
last night?
I did not, but I heard all about it, because there's something about Will Blitzer had the temerity to mention that Dick Cheney has a daughter who is the gay.
We'll get to that in a minute, but first, he insists that the Bush administration policies on Iraq have been working.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is
that you. Yes, number
working
two.
With the whole
number two.
With
the...
There is a new regime in place. It's been there for less than a year. Far too soon for you guys to write them off. They have got a democratically written constitution, first ever in that part of the world. They've had three national elections.
How that? That doesn't make. Well, first of all, what kind of country has three national elections in a year? That just doesn't make any sense. What kind of?
All the candidates got killed.
I was just gonna say, is that your new president? And then, like, while he's being inaugurated, somebody is, you know, he's taken down with...
Well, he dared to open the door and walk outside. They're fine if they just keep sitting there. It's when they get up and leave the room they're in trouble.
He just has to broadcast from underneath a pile of furniture in the basement.
The Bush administration has been very successful.
There have been numerous attacks that have been disrupted. It's been a remarkable performance by the U.S. military and our intelligence
services. It's been a performance, all right.
If you had asked shortly after 9/11 what the odds were that we could go better than 5 years without another attack on the homeland, I don't think anybody would have been willing to take that bet.
All right.
Yes. Getting rid of al-Qaeda is the main goal now, apparently.
We've been enormously successful in that regard. We still obviously want to get Osama bin Laden and Zawahiri, but we've had great success against al-Qaeda.
Yeah, it's our number one priority.
Has anyone checked to see if Will Blitzer is still alive this morning?
Did he bring up some unpleasant truths?
I'm afraid so. Apparently, Mr. Blitzer questioned Mr. Cheney about his lesbian daughter. He'll be having a child without a real mother and father, not long from today. He asked the vice president what he had to say to the critics who say it won't be good for a child to have such a mother as his lesbian daughter.
I'm delighted I'm about to have a sixth grandchild. Obviously think the world of both my daughters.
Head cut off tomorrow morning.
All of my grandchildren. And I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
You know, and the thing is, you can hear the tone in his voice, too.
He's calling his tax man out to make sure everything is in order because...
That's exactly what it is. And that tone in Dick Cheney's voice, you know what that exactly is?
You will die.
No. That is the...
You will disappear.
Wolf, Wolf, as you know, I've had many people buried in shallow graves outside of Las Vegas. You will be dead this time next week, and the vultures will be pecking at your eye sockets. I want you to know that, and it all started with this question. So think about that, Mr. Funny Man, as we're having you dismembered. All right, let's listen to that again. You can hear that.
I'm delighted I'm about to have a sixth grandchild.
You know what that is? And he hates the fact that he got asked because he's because he's obligated to say that. Because he has no choice. He has to go, yes, I'm delighted. I am now legally required to say that I'm delighted to have a sixth, whatever. So, there you go. Who are we just talking about the other day that was going on about one of their kids and how they didn't really like the kid? Because the kid, well, like, wasn't planned or something, or the kid was an accident, or the
Angelina
kid was...
Angelina
Jolie. Oh, that's right.
She called her child a blob and said she doesn't respect her as much as her own
blob.
Child.
You
like
blob.
Time
for lunch.
It was something along the lines how she finds it hard to love her biological child as much as she loves Maddox and the other one, because her actual child hasn't been through what the other two have been through.
And it's a blob?
And then she called him a blob.
You don't call your child...
Was it a girl?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a blob. It doesn't have... you don't call your child a blob in the media? All right, there you go. Fantastic. You
know, I'm delighted I'm about to have a sixth grandchild, Wolf. obviously think the world of both my daughters and all of my grandchildren.
I will be wearing your spine for a bracelet at this time tomorrow.
All right, here's Tim Riley. Down to go to be now and speak with our favorite Irishman.
Now, are we still in
Barack
Cheney
Obama?
Watch?
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
We should break then.
All right.
Let's close the Cheney Watch here.
Everybody,
we'll come back with more of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. You stay right there. Back after this.
Baby, baby, can't you hear my
Am I being punished for something?
I just heard this in the bathroom.
Is this because of the Taylor Swift song I made everybody hear yesterday?
No, this is just one of the most terrible things I've ever heard.
Way to hit the post.
In the city in a little subdivision. Her daddy,
that sounds like a real accent.
Mama never fried a chicken. Ballets, grade A's, most likely to succeed.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't anybody in country songs ever just have, like, a taco? Have some spaghetti. Have a sandwich. It's always chicken.
No, these are meat eating people.
They're what?
Meat eating people.
Now she's coming home to visit, holding the hand of a wild eyed boy with a farmer's hand.
You are punishing me for something.
I just realized this is
You're going to miss the turn it up part.
Oh. This is the same guy who sang that Hot Mama song.
Oh, God. What's his name?
Trace Adkins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's got a bad molestache, too. Have you seen he's got the big push broom mustache? Trace Adkins.
Oh, and he has, like, that really creepy ponytail.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know mamas and daddies want better for their daughters. Hope they'll settle down.
It's like he's sort of groping me through the microphone.
Town ball gown, hand me down royalty.
His voice has got a really disturbing tone to it.
Never understand why they're princes.
We don't have to listen to the whole thing.
Camouflage britches and a
camouflage britches.
People still say britches?
Trace Adkins is five. Oh, wait, you're going
to... Oh, I thought... part of the crowd singing along.
No, there's a part of the end, because I hear this every morning as I'm in my office. I hear the... The next chorus, they'll do the Lynyrd Skynyrd part, because you have to mention... It's like a rule. I think if you don't mention Lynyrd Skynyrd once every three or four songs, like the Hat Mafia comes to your house and they beat you. But he mentions Lynyrd Skynyrd, and there's the whole crowd that yells, turn it up. Well, now we have to hear it.
You can try to teach them right from wrong, but it's still gonna turn them on.
Here we go.
Are those kids from CRL?
You know, after tomorrow, we're not going to have this anymore. We won't be able to play any of these country hits.
We should totally do all of our bumps.
Are those paid head boppers?
Are they what?
Paid head boppers.
Oh.
People in the audience who paid to bop their head.
I thought you said something else. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Family program.
Big or small balls? 503-733-2970. Did you ever call a bowling alley as a kid and ask if they had 10-pound balls?
No.
I totally did. Yes?
How do you walk?
Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, apparently, they evacuated a high-rise downtown Portland a few minutes ago after reports of smoke. It was a smoky haze seen on the 8th floor of the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. Who knows what might be going on in there? The Pacific Northwest National Laboratory.
I believe they are building a cyber soldier of the future in manner of Serpentor.
A combination of man and beast. The building is located at the intersection of Southwest Alder and 5th. Who even know it was there?
Oh, the Southwest Alder and 5th. That's where the 5th Avenue Suites is, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's Camera World. And then there was that coffee people that's right there. That's where
I
did my
hideous... Pacific Northwest National Laboratory is also in that building.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. I don't even know...
They don't want you to know about that.
That's what I mean.
It's on the 8th floor.
Did we just spend 4 minutes playing a Trace Adkins song? That reminds me of when we were all at the old KOTK building, the old Fisher building. Do you remember this? Because I think we can talk about this now. Do you remember at the old Fisher building, we were on, what, the 3rd floor?
And we weren't allowed to see what was going on the 6th floor?
And it was the 4th floor, and we were not allowed to. If you went to the old KOTK building, this was years ago, up until like 2001.
They had an unlisted floor.
There was an unlisted floor. You got into the elevator. The elevator button wasn't labeled. There was no sign out front. We weren't supposed to go up there. You weren't allowed to. In fact, I don't even think you could access that floor unless you had a special key. And I asked when I first got hired there, I said, hey, what's up on the 4th floor? And the guy's just like, you know, it's best if you don't ask about that. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you know, you just don't inquire, don't ask, don't go to that floor.
Man, half wallaby.
And I never found out what there was. And now I think it's gone. I think whatever was on that floor is gone now, and it's been replaced by some call-out center for, like, Kaiser Permanente or something, for Comcast maybe. But there was some nefarious business going on the 4th floor of the old KOTK building. We never knew what it was. Apparently now we know that they are creating an army of super atomic robots that they will use then in their quest to reduce all of humanity to a smoldering cinder.
Well, we'll have to stop by and ask what goes on at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory.
I, for one, welcome our new laboratory overlords. All right.
Oh, and everyone was evacuated.
Okay.
There's nothing going on in the streets there since they closed that department store.
Oh, the
and the
Macy's?
Bus area, yeah.
Well, the Macy's was the source of all of the news because it was catching on fire every other day.
So we've got... Well, now we've got this place now. So hopefully there'll be more.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Affordable universal health care can and must be accomplished soon. That's what our favorite Irishman, Democratic Senator Barack Obama, told the Washington, D.C. audience. Barack Obama.
Our timing is so bad today.
No.
This is, we're having to, I mean, it is.
I cannot wait till I'm in control of the sound bites again.
This timing is really terrible. Okay,
I'm going to be in control of many of my sound bites pretty soon.
Let's try this again. Why don't you set up that whole thing one more time?
Affordable universal health care can and must be accomplished soon. That's what Illinois Democratic Senator Barack Obama told the Washington, D.C. audience.
In the 2008 presidential campaign and congressional campaigns all across the country, affordable, universal health care for every single American must not be a question of whether, it must be a question of how.
I was actually going to mention that to Lisa yesterday, and then there was just so many other things to get to that I didn't get a chance. I don't know if anybody caught that in the State of the Union address where President Bush said that he said it was the government's duty to provide health care to, I believe he said, the very poor and the very poor and the very old. Apparently no one else. Apparently no one else deserves health care. It's no one else needs to be protected from anything.
Yes, he criticized the health care proposals that President Bush put forth in his State of the Union address Tuesday night.
Who did that?
Barack Obama. Of the County Cork Obamas.
The president's latest proposal has some elements that are interesting, but it basically does little to bring down cost or guarantee coverage. It falls into the category of tinkering and halfway measures.
Fantastic. I don't know what that guy stands for. I don't know what he's for. I don't know what he's against. I have no idea what he's voted on, what he supports. Doesn't matter. That's a guy that I'll vote for just because he's got a fantastic speaking voice, and I wish to screw with the natural.
Well, I vote for all Irish people.
Because I know the straight Irish ticket.
That's right.
Yeah, excellent. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the president is defending himself against Barack Obama.
The system is geared toward enabling individual to have more control over his or her decision making and make the tax code fair for the individual.
All right, I didn't even listen to that because I was reflecting on how did we ever do this? Because this, and I will say that today and tomorrow, the last 2 days that we're playing some of our effects off of cart here, I don't remember how we did this kind of back in the day because I'm trying to play.
Well, there would be more than one cart machine back in the day.
Yeah, but I mean, even
like
then,
three or four.
It would be, it's difficult because trying to time these things out. All right, so this.
The system is geared toward enabling the individual to have more control over his or her decision-making and make the tax code fair for the individual.
And decision-making? I'm at home bleeding out of my ears. I have no...
What will not be covered.
I was just going to say, there you go.
Your deductible is $7,500.
I mean, really?
Well, no, that is the truth. Your deductible, in most cases now, what people can afford is $7,500.
Because we've all got that just, you know, laying around. Oh, good God almighty.
And that's one of the good ones.
Hit by a car reduces my spleen to applesauce, and I'm at home trying to sell off my record collection so I can buy some Advil at the hospital. I mean, for the love of sweet Christ. There's nothing. That's a long time ago. That is the national health plan. Just plan to die old and alone with no friends around. There you go. That's your future. That's your life. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Did R&B singer Brandy kill someone?
Yes, she did.
She was involved in a fatal car crash last month. We're finally finding out about this. Authorities say the singer was driving her Land Rover on a Los Angeles freeway at 65 miles. It must have been in the middle of the night if she was able to go 65 miles an hour on a Los Angeles freeway.
There's nowhere in Los Angeles that you could do that.
Is this
like a freeway that she built herself just to drive it? This is Brandy-only freeway.
It would take months to reach a speed of 65 miles an hour.
I'm on the Brandy 101 today.
This is when the traffic in front of her slowed down and she hit a Toyota, causing a chain reaction crash. Authorities have released a 911 emergency call.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't know. Oh, is this going to be...
I don't know. I haven't heard it yet.
Oh. Okay, how could this go wrong? We're going to roll some unpreviewed audio. First of all, let me just say this before I play this. I cannot... this is my opinion. What follows now... What follows is my opinion.
Yes.
I don't know how I share your assessment that it's difficult to go 65 miles an hour anywhere on a freeway in Los Angeles. I mean, I've only spent some time there, but I mean...
People do pull over if you're involved in a high-speed chase that's being covered live during the 4 o'clock news.
If it's on KTLA, that's it. That's about it. I will also say...
And make sure you interrupt the kids' cartoons to show somebody being shot
in the face.
Yeah,
exactly. We interrupt the Itchy and Scratchy program to see a man being shot repeatedly in the eyes. So it's going to be a whole generation.
That's what Los Angeles television is, though. Probably nothing more so than that.
A whole generation of kids grow up just seeing people repeatedly shot in the face on television. And I will also say this is just my opinion, but this is a little bit of spin, and by spin I mean a lie. When she says that the traffic in front of her suddenly slowed,
it doesn't slow.
It never picks up. It does not slow. It is either stopped or it was always slow. It's not like you're whizzing along like on the 405 or something, and then, oh, there's a gradual slowdown of my forward momentum. My inertia is decreasing. If you're driving in Los Angeles, you're driving at 7 miles an hour, and you're doing it the entire way to wherever you have to go.
The only way that you can reach a speed of this properly
is if you're rolling down a hill.
No, if you have a car ahead of you, and you have two armed guards in there shooting off the people off the side of the road in front of you to clear the freeway. That is the only way to do it.
Sort of an atomic ray reducing everybody else to dust.
Yeah, there's just a massive car accident on the 405.
There's two vehicles. I think there's fatalities or, you know, injuries big time. Yeah, East 405, right before Ventura Boulevard. Bad, bad accident. It just happened just now.
That is the bottom of a hill. Wait a minute. We don't know if that... Okay, so it has to be going northbound.
Let me.
That is the bottom of a hill.
Let's play this again here.
Okay. Yeah, there's just a massive car accident on the 405.
There's two vehicles. I think there's fatalities or, you know, injuries big time. Yeah, East 405, right before Ventura Boulevard. Bad, bad accident. It just happened just now.
Okay, that would be at the bottom of a hill. So we know that much.
How is it that we didn't find out about this for like a month and a half? Because this happened.
Yeah, it happened last month.
Yeah. And
in L.A.
It's just now coming out.
What's wrong with their PR people?
With multiple witnesses. Well, you know, she'll be in rehab by the end of the day. You know that's true. So, I mean, no, come on. I mean, that's it.
No, you're totally right.
She'll be right there between Mark Foley and Isaiah Washington.
Him and a homophobe? Yeah. Let an Alky in for free.
Seriously.
It's a 2-for-1.
Good God almighty. All right, so there you go.
There's a new wing at the Betty Ford Center.
R&B, quote, star, end quote, Brandy, apparently. This is just they're alleging to kill somebody.
Right.
Inadvertently, in an accident of some kind. All right, there you go.
Some anti-drug and student groups want the alcohol industry to start marketing a sweet type of alcohol beverage to teenagers known as Alco-Pops.
This
will be Mike's Hard Lemonade and Peel's Cranberry Peach, often consumed by underage drinkers.
Users of Alco-Pops appear to be young girls who prefer the sweetened taste of Alco-Pops over the bitter taste of beer.
Okay.
Sounds like a teeny bopper group.
I'm so confused.
I believe that what you meant to say was they want the liquor companies to stop manufacturing.
Did I say start?
I believe that is what you said.
Oh, wait. I didn't mean that.
Wait, I want to hear more about this delicious concoction.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, that is not what I meant.
Are they talking about alcohol-infused lollipops?
First of all,
These are Alco-Pops. I had an Alco-Pops. It's a joke.
There are people who dress up in these character outfits and dance on stage for the kids.
Those are the Alka-Pops. The Alka-Pops are coming to town! And then you go out there and it's just like a drunken Labrador who whizzes on everything and then beats you.
Alco-Pops. Alco-Pops, okay.
Right.
Let's say it 100 times.
Alco-Pops.
I was seizing on.
I was seizing on the fact that you were saying that children were urging. Well, they may be. Children may, in fact, be urging the liquor industry to sell them, to sell them direct and to cut out the middleman.
It just said some local anti-drug and student groups.
You know, when you're underage, it's all about those disgusting fruity drinks like Zima and Boone's Farm.
Zima. Now, we don't wish to endorse, promote, encourage, or advocate or condone the underage consumption of spirits or liquor in any way. That would be wrong.
And illegal.
They should have a moxie.
If you should feel the urge, just picture yourself in a tub of worms. The The Rick Emerson Show encourages and promotes and, in fact, orders you to obey all laws, both local, state, federal. I'm simply saying...
Or else we're going to bring the crushed car over to your school just before prom night and make everyone cry.
And then right here's where they took my left leg.
You didn't have the big smush car?
I can't dance anymore. I can just...
That's kind of a cottage industry, I believe.
It's the same car. It's like my mom who went to see the Bonnie and Clyde death car. No, they brought the smash car. Well, see, my grandfather was a... whatever you call it, the chief of firefighters or fire chief.
Fire chief.
Yeah. And so I got to this. I was the cool kid for like one day when I was growing up in like third grade when boys are really into this kind of thing. I got to bring my class on a field trip to see the Jaws of Life. And the Jaws of Life, the really disconcerting part though is that there was something wrong with the Jaws of Life that then they wouldn't work. There was like, they had a car and they poured rubbing alcohol on it and set the car ablaze with rubbing alcohol, which doesn't burn the whole car, but it just puts a surface fire. But anyway, they put like a mannequin inside, and then they douse the car with rubbing alcohol. We're all kind of standing back behind a rope or whatever, and he's like, and now we'll show you how the jaws of life will cut you free before you are consumed into a fiery charcoal. You know, car goes up in flames. They go to turn on the jaws of life, and it's like a pole start lawnmower. It's a lot of like...
Now, what are the jaws of life?
The jaws of life are like...
The full car door is open.
I think it's like huge... pneumatic scissors, basically.
Okay.
Ledge clippers.
Yeah, it's like gigantic pneumatic hedge clippers that are used to cut the door, because the deal is that if your car is smashed, you can't use the door and push it open because it's been compressed, so it's stuck shut, basically.
Unless you're driving like a Volvo.
Yes.
Then you won't need them at all.
Yes, you won't need those at all. Anyway... So the jaws of life are there basically to cut a hole in the side of the car so they can reach inside and pull you out and take you on tour.
What's
high
left of you.
Covered in burns.
Your jellied remains.
Oh.
Into a large bucket.
Did you really just say jellied remains?
I believe I did. Well, I'm trying to...
That's so wrong, Tim.
Well, I'm trying to scare the children into not doing these things.
I mean, I think I speak for everyone when I
that
say...
That was too soon. Too soon.
Non sequiturs, your facts are uncoordinated.
Too soon.
His brain is gone.
Anyway. So, my grandfather was there, the car is on fire, there's a mannequin inside, and I'm like the cool guy, oh, look at my grandfather, he's the firefighting chief, he's going to pull somebody out with the jaws of life! And the jaws of life won't work. They keep trying to get it to start, like, come on! Who left the jaws of life running all night? You know, and it's like a whole lot of, it's like, who left the milk out? And so there's somebody apparently didn't put the jaws of life away when they were playing. So
the man, moment in the sun
man,
is
no, and the mannequin inside is on fire.
In the meantime,
the mannequin inside the car.
They pulled the mannequin's head off and leave the rest of it in there to burn.
It was the head of the mannequin is on fire. You look inside the window, and inside, the face of the mannequin is fully engulfed in flame. And
it's the rest
this
of you.
This is how we'd save you. And you look at the mannequin, it's a lot of... And his head is just being reduced to a small little melted plastic mass. Jellied remains. What were we talking about? How did we get into the jaws of life?
I don't know. A few minutes ago, we were talking about Barack Obama. I don't know. We managed to go down that road.
Oh, man, those were good times. Oh, yeah, 10
minutes
kids,
ago.
No.
Not like today.
Those were, no, that was the thing that they would bring by the high school though, all the time, was like the death car, you know, and it was, you know, Tootsie and Bob thought they were going out for cheap kicks and a night on the town, and then it's like, and then you take out a cigar box, here's Tootsie now, you know, because Tootsie's dead, and then they bring up Bob, and Bob's in a wheelchair, and he's got a hook for one hand, and he's missing an eye, and
okay,
I just wanted to have fun and drink, you know.
My school spent their entire budget on having this huge production of getting everybody out to the football field. Had the two cars, like, covered with a tarp, and they had two cars smashed into each other, and they actually, like, flew in airlift and stuff. It was very crazy.
Oh, just to show you what would happen when cars collided?
Yeah, so they set it up. They set up, like, all these kids are at a party, you know, blah, blah, blah. They had a few drinks, and then, bam, they lift off the tarp, and they have students in there as actors, and they're covered in blood.
Oh, I wish that I'd repented!
Yeah, and it's these two cars, they're smashed together, and they get the jaws of life out, and they cut out these people, you know, and they're all dead, and then a helicopter actually flew onto our field and, like, transported some of them away. It was really realistic and morbid.
Yeah, but the thing is, it doesn't stop anybody. It doesn't...
No. Stupid people will continue to do it, and the smart kids don't want to be seen in the same room with these people anyway, so they're not going.
I would cut all those assemblies as soon as I was old enough to drive. That's the irony. As soon as I was old enough to have a car, I never went to a traffic safety seminar ever again. And you are exactly right. When I was a senior or junior, he was a year behind me, and he was a real waste of skin to begin with, but let's be honest. I won't use his name. I'm just going to say he was one of those guys taking up oxygen that could have been used by somebody more.
No, he has six of his own children.
No, he doesn't have any children. Why? Goddamn dead. He's dead. Dead. Why? Drank like half a case of beer and then decided he was going to go whizzing down the highway at 85 miles an hour with no seatbelt. Bam. Ended poorly. And then, of course, they gave him the big, like, you float on the gossamer wings of Jesus, like, thing in the yearbook where it's like him. And this is pre-Photoshop, so it's like a badly paced, like, hand-drawn angel's wings. Like, of him in his football uniform. It's like him with pads and a helmet. And then, and like a halo drawn over his head.
Was he mean to you or something?
Yeah.
And everyone was mean.
And now he's dead. He's not dead because he was mean to me.
We all have so many issues.
Not that anyone can prove. What?
We all have so many issues.
No, it's true.
Maybe you should talk about that in your next therapy session.
We should have... That's what I should do on Monday. I should have the listeners vote on what needs to be brought up in the therapy session.
No, I think you really just need to go to therapy.
Why do you have to take all the fun out of my therapy? Why do you take the fun out of my mental disintegration? But let's continue talking. We have no Roop at the top of the hour. He's a tooth.
Nope.
We can run late here all we want. I'm beholden to no man's law. So let's continue talking about Alka-Pops because they sound fantastic. So apparently they're all the craze with young people who love them. Wrongly, though. They shouldn't. Right? Isn't that the thing?
No, like sweet and... alcohol like a spark.
What are Alka-Pops, Tim?
Well, they're like Mike's Hard Lemonade, that type of thing.
So it is a...
It's not like Ovaltine.
Well, that's not new. It's not like Ovaltine. More Ovaltine, please!
Ovaltine, please! No child has ever said that in the last 60 years. Although they keep putting them in commercials.
I can't wait. I can't wait to have more Ovaltine, Mom.
I want the little Orphan Annie comic book when you go to the store and get my Ovaltine, please.
Can you get me some Whorehound? And a copy of the new Mary Worth. Anyway, but this is nothing new, these so-called Alka-Pops. They were selling this. Okay, so Sarah, when you were coming of age as a drinking person, and that is to say when you were like 16, what was the, not that we advocate this, but we must speak plainly and truthfully or else the young people will not trust us as role models. Mm-hmm. What was the sugary concoction that they sold to you? Was it like Bartles and James?
We'd always drink like the, I think it's... Strawberry Fields or something. Just a lot of Boone's Farm
apple wine.
40s of MGD.
Yeah.
I don't know why we did that.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Drank, you know, anything cheap like Mad Dog or Night Train.
Night Train. Did you actually drink Night Train?
I had one of the worst nights of my life. Drinking Night Train.
That Night Train's a mean wine. That Night Train. Now look, and you know that I learned early on.
I was trying to be all cocky and saying, oh, I'll drink this Night Train.
Look, here's the thing about it. Night Train
is awful.
And I am not, and as everybody knows,
I can't even think about it now, and it's been like 10 years.
I learned early on that I had to keep a very tight grip on my consumption of spirits because those things ended very, very badly for me. And as the statement goes, there are many former friends who will tell you that I should not drink to excess or probably at all. So I learned early on about that stuff. But I did have an experience with Night Train, though, and it was. And the best part is, here's the best part about my Night Train story, is that it was actually, I swear to God, I don't think you could do this anymore. I don't think this is a thing they could do these days. It was a bottle of Night Train sent to me by a record company. And it was for what record? It was to promote... God, what was it? It was like a Dan Baird record. He was the singer from the Georgia Satellites. But it was some like white trash rock. Or like the Four Horsemen or some like Rick Rubin produced band. But it was like some trashy rock band. It was like some Georgia Satellites type band. And the little tchotchke that they sent to promote it was like an instant white trash kit. And it was like a wife beater. and like, I don't know, like a thing of zigzags, like rolling papers, and like a bottle of Night Train.
Oh.
And of course, I'm like 19, and so that comes to me because for some reason they thought I was the music director. Hey, the box for you, Mr. Emerson? Sure, look inside. Bottle of alcohol. This is going home, you know? And so I just took it home, put it in the fridge, because, you know, that Night Train's got to be chilled.
Oh.
That Night Train, and it's like, and I mean, I've never consumed paint thinner, but I got to tell you, if I ever someday am held down and I am force-fed like half a gallon of liquid shellac, I suspect that it'll taste very familiar. And that, I mean, it's like the head. But the hangover began before I was even finished drinking.
I can't even remember what it tasted like, but it was just so awful.
Well, and there's listen to that. That was a Farnsworth. It was kind of a, oh, yes. There's Thunderbird, there's, and Mad Dog and 2020 are the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the same beverage. Yeah.
That's kind of fruity.
What about Ripple? No one ever drinks Ripple anymore.
What's Ripple?
Ripple is a... Tim, did they have Ripple when you were growing up? Ripple
I don't remember.
Ripple was like sort of the cheap drunk of choice for many of the homeless people on the East Coast, I believe, at one point. Because my friend Kurt was always referencing that.
I don't think I ever saw a homeless person on the East Coast. I didn't see any homeless people.
Were they all taken to the countryside to get better?
It's too cold to be homeless there. At least it was back then.
So it's sort of a self-regulating problem.
Probably so, yes.
Every December.
Like the Indians who disappeared from natural causes, apparently. Millions of them.
Indians? There was no...
No, it's...
I didn't see anybody
they
here.
They generously gave us this land with cities with funny names.
Yes.
Nobody can pronounce.
But that Night Train, I remember drinking that. Like, and almost like, and here the Scotty J part of the story is, I remember drinking that Night Train while sitting at home alone in my apartment, just because it just seemed interesting, and because I'd heard about that, and because Guns N' Roses, of course, very famously sang a song about that. Guns N' Roses have that, you know, loaded, you know, I'm on the Night Train, blah, 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 and the song Night Train is all about getting loaded on cheap wine, so I'm like, I'm going to be just like Axl Rose. I'm going to sit alone in my Spokane apartment and drink until I am blind. And so I just opened this bottle of, with the screw cap wine down the door, and as I said, it's like I hadn't even finished the first whatever. I mean, I was drinking it straight from the bottle, of course, because why would you waste a glass on that? So I hadn't even finished the first mouthful, and I swear to God, I could feel the next morning's hangover like beginning in my head. So there was Night Train, that was the cheap drug, and then we didn't, I think Bartles and James maybe was just happening when I was in high school. We had, though, and this will bring back memories for many of my 80s compatriots, we had California Coolers. And California Coolers, see, I believe that we were my generation, I believe we were the first generation to have wine coolers. I don't think wine coolers existed until the 80s. I mean, and those came from California, didn't they, Tim?
Yes, they do.
That's what we can, something we can thank California for, is wine coolers. And wine coolers were these incredibly syrupy, sweet drinks. And the thing about wine coolers is they were designed to get chicks drunk at parties. But, of course, if you were just some sort of drinking lightweight, they would work fantastically for that, too. That's not what Alka-Pops... So when you're saying Alka-Pops, this story is having entirely the wrong effect, too, because this story is meant to make us avoid Alka-Pops, but instead it's just sounding like this really interesting thing that I'm disappointed doesn't exist. When you were like, students are demanding that they sale of Alka-Pops, and I'm just like, Sarah, I was picturing like some little thing, like some little sucky thing on a ring.
Okay,
that you could...
thank you, because I was feeling really dumb for saying that.
I thought it was like a big candy gemstone ring that like you could carry around the office.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
What are you doing? Nothing? And you're sitting there putting tequila into your mouth from this, you know, from a lollipop.
It's also a California word, by the way. I recognized it when I first saw it.
The
Alka-Pops.
Alka-Pops?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's California terminology.
Well, then
it might not have been said outside the States.
Well, I guess my question then is, why has no one... It seems like now they're based on just our interest in it. It does seem like such a product ought to exist. So let me be the first now to encourage someone...
Alcohol-infused lollipop. That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. So clearly that does seem like there's a hole there that needs to be filled. So I would like someone to market that product now. So there you go.
Yeah, because you can make little Jello shots. Just try and figure out how to make a shot put in them.
Yeah,
like a popsicle.
Yeah, this is a popsicle. This is a this is not the Aaron, not the geek on Ripple. Hello, sir.
I wanted to weigh in on the Ripple. There's a 1970s comedic porn version of Cinderella.
Yeah.
And the fairy godmother is played by Cy Richardson. He was also in Repo Man.
Okay.
And he tries to use the magic wand to make a bottle of Dom Perignon champagne, and instead he gets Ripple, and he's really disappointed.
Have
Pretty funny movie if you haven't seen it.
Have you ever had Ripple, sir?
No, I haven't, but I am from the East Coast.
Yeah, I'm to understand that Ripple is maybe it's a Southern thing, maybe it's not an East Coast thing, but it is sort of like nitrine. It is a very citrusy, a very very high octane wine. That's all I remember about nitrine. I don't remember anything but
it was thick and pungent, just
I think
like wine, but with some like cough medicine kind of thing.
Totally.
I think that's what Otis the Town Drunk did before Barney and Andy locked him up for the night.
Yeah, exactly.
In the Maybury jail.
All right, thank you.
He brought over some fried chicken.
All right, there you go. Well, look, I mean, sometimes the store was out of Robitussin. I mean, that was... What are you going to do? Do kids still do that? I mean, not that they should. Do kids still drink it? Does Robitussin...
Kids still drink, yes.
Do kids still... Does kids still drink Robitussin?
I don't know. I always had friends who had alcoholic parents and grandparents. We'd just steal their mini bottles. So we never tried drinking Robitussin.
I'm sorry. We had to slum it, Sarah. We weren't all so blessed.
Oh, no. They were gross. Remember, I told you about my first drinking experience.
The parents?
Oh, yeah.
Where I'd mix tequila and chocolate milk.
Oh, I don't think you've shared that story with us.
Yeah, it was just bad. Right. I don't want to be like it.
Let's take a break.
She's above that now.
It's 503.
Yeah, it's so much.
Yeah.
As I filmed last night drinking Miller High Life.
503-733-2970. We'll come up. What have we got coming up? Oh, the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. We'll have more from Tim Riley later on. The top five musical acts in Scotty J's head. And Jim Roop. You stay right there.